For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. Dr. Brian Fagan, the author of The Great Warming, Climate Change, and the Rise and Fall of Civilizations, will be the featured speaker at WKU's Reach Week, which is a celebration of research taking place later this month. Dr. Fagan is a noted researcher, a best-selling author, and a professor emeritus at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He's written numerous textbooks in the field of archaeology. He's also made an extensive study of the impact climate change has had on world history. Dan Modlin talks with him.
First, Brian, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today.
My pleasure.
Now, you will be giving a public lecture in Van Meter Auditorium on the evening of March 21st on the subject of how climate change changed civilization. Judging by the success of your book, this seems to be a subject that a lot of people do find interesting.
Oh, yes. It's a fascinating subject. And a lot of the interest in it has been triggered by the ongoing and unfortunately politicized debate over humanly caused global warming. And the position I take is that the world is warming at this point. It's been warming since the mid-19th century, and we're very stupid if we don't take it seriously from that perspective. And indeed, this seems to be one of the reasons my book is causing considerable interest.
Now, without giving away too much from your lecture itself, could you tell us a little bit about some of the things that your studies of the history of climate change can tell us about the future?
The last 10,000 years since the Ice Age have been one of the most prolonged periods of relatively benign climate for a long, long time. And until about 1860, this was pretty well the routine. There were centuries of cooler, more unsettled conditions, centuries of slightly warmer conditions like there were 1,000 years ago. But the persistent warming we're getting now is something a little unprecedented. And if you look back at the past, and the most important thing to remember is that there were many, many fewer people on Earth right up till modern times. The impact of climate change is therefore less. When you reflect that 3,000 years ago, a really major city would have been about 5,000 people, you were talking about relatively small numbers. And this means that it was much easier to move, to adjust to drought, to adjust to rising water and other climatic events in ways that today would be impossible. I mean, if you contemplate Miami Beach or New Orleans or Houston, for example, evacuating them in the face of a major hurricane or some other climatic event is almost undoable. And we're now facing the issue, particularly with things like rising sea levels, where do you fence us in? Do we move cities at vast expense? And so on. And a lot of the lessons of history are really from a more carefree time, but they do show us that humans have an endless ability to adjust creatively to different situations.
Taking all that into account with the larger population, but the history of humans being able to adjust, how do you view the future? Is this something that, do you have some optimism that humans would be able to adjust somewhat to some of the climate change?
I think you have to look at this from two perspectives. The first one is that we're human beings. We're Homo sapiens. We are superb at being ingenious, at planning, at looking ahead. We negotiate with each other. We're happy. We're unhappy. We fall in love. We fall out of love. We die, and so on. And these extraordinary qualities, and this is one of the most remarkable things you really learn from the past, is that such qualities have really enabled humans to rise to all kinds of challenges in the past, famine, drought, climate change, and so on. And I think the reason I'm optimistic is that we have this remarkable ability to improvise, to find solutions. And I'm optimistic about the future. However, I think the cost is going to be very, very high in terms of human life. Then on the other side of the coin, there were some scary things going on. For example, we are using up so much water from deep below the Earth's surface, and the amount of water on Earth is finite, that there are places like India and parts of China where the dangers of millions of people getting short of water or even running out of it is very real. And then if you look at, say, Bangladesh, where most of the country is, I believe, something like 15 feet above sea level at the most, you've got a rapidly rising population. You've got unusually rapid sea level rise caused both by subsidence of the land, partly because of the overdrawing of aquifers with fresh water. You've got corruption of fresh water supplies for big cities like Dhaka. And on top of that, you've got rapidly rising sea level, rapid by geological standards. But in a place like this, you're not talking about an inch of rise. You're talking about the horizontal spread of the water. And add to that sea surges from tropical cyclones, which are very common there. You've got a pretty scary scenario. And you really legitimately have got a sober, and I repeat the word sober, assessment that in about 50 years, the Bangladesh government will be confronted with the problem of moving millions of people to higher ground. But the problem is, there's no higher ground. India doesn't want extra people, nor does Myanmar, which are the two neighbors. So there is a very complex situation here. And this before you start talking about the loss of the Maldives Islands or Pacific Islands to rising sea levels. So the future is going to, put it mildly, very challenging.
You've done some research, obviously, in some fascinating areas. And while at Western Kentucky University, you will be here in part to encourage interest in student research. What would you say to students at, say, the high school age who are considering a career in science or any field that will demand research skills? Do you have advice for such students?
Yes, I would absolutely encourage people to study science, to take it seriously, and particularly not only to look at socially relevant science, which means things like climate change, medicine, and so on, but also consider theoretical science, because without theoretical science, a great deal of the advances made in, say, climatology are meaningless. So there are all kinds of science, and this country is short of scientists. We have some of the finest science education in the world. I would strongly recommend people to go into science. However, one has to remember that just as important as science is the science of people, because one of the things we really need to know a great deal more about is human behavior, and that's something that we're very, very thin on in some areas.
Now, Brian, if someone in our audience would like more information about your best-selling book, The Great Warming, Climate Change and the Rise and Fall of Civilizations, what would you recommend?
If they want more information, probably the best place to start would be my website, which is brianfagan.com. It's F-A-G-A-N, no relation to Oliver Twist. You'll find details of that book and other books there, and it's readily available on Amazon and at other outlets.
Brian Fagan will be giving a public lecture in Van Meter Auditorium on the WKU campus on Wednesday, March 21st at 7 p.m. That lecture is free and open to the public. Brian, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure, and have a nice day.
Brian Fagan is Professor Emeritus at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and author of the best-selling book, The Great Warming, Climate Change, and the Rise and Fall of Civilizations. He will be speaking on the WKU campus on the evening of March 21st. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.